Important dates in Christian history. 1807. The British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So, about what that talk show host just said? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, thinking about the young lady writing in, she's potentially going to be courting a young man who looked at pornography prior to getting saved and wondering, yikes, is that a disqualifier? And the answer is maybe, maybe not. It needs to really be thoughtfully and you need to sleuth and you need to ask a lot of questions. What was it that he was consuming? How often was he consuming? When was the last time that that happened? Those things, those are conversations that must be had. And by the way, if you do premarital counseling and the counselor never gets into those issues, they have failed you. You need to discuss all of those things prior to saying, I do, because they do not go away at the altar. This young lady wants to have a husband who's godly. And parents have been involved in her situation, and it looks like, hey, this could be good, but it's troubling her. And who would blame her? It's scary for a woman. You mean he used to, what? Would that happen to me? And by the way, I don't know where this is in my stack. Perhaps I should try to find it so that I'm not making stuff up. It was an article about pornography and specifically the effects of it. And I'm trying to recall the statistic. I'll look for it here, but I'm trying to recall the statistic of this was, I think, in Britain, that 25% of girls said that when they had their first kiss with a boy, not necessarily their first ever kiss, but when they kissed a boy for the first time, he tried to strangle her. What in the world? Apparently, that's like the thing in porn. The man strangles the woman on it. What in the world is going on? And these young men who are consuming porn think, well, that's normative. So that's what I'm going to do. I got to tell you, Mrs. Friel and I were talking about this in the kitchen the other day. And it's like, what is this? You're telling me somehow strangulation enhances the intimate act. You're telling me that. All right, then here's what I'm telling you. You do that, something is twisted inside of you. You think that's a good idea? Or somehow it's like, ooh, I really dig that. Something is very broken inside of you that you think strangling a woman is pleasure? And that is what porn is producing in so many young men. So young lady, I don't blame you for being concerned. You have every right to be. Now, having said all of that, I just want you to understand, I get it. You have a longing, you have a desire, and you want marriage, you want a good thing. So perhaps applying whatever I'm saying that you believe is biblical is hard. It's difficult. But don't sacrifice wisdom because of your longing. Don't let your feelings drive what could be a very, very bad decision. And young men, to you, I would say this. If you are consuming that trash, I can't think of a word stronger that wouldn't cross the line of Ephesians 5:4 and being coarse talk. That putrid filth that you are putting into your eyeballs, you need to man up. This is not how a godly man acts. Knock it off.
You don't know how hard it is. I'm not married.
Knock it off. Man up. Get yourself under control. Play the man. Start being God. Deny yourself whatever your feelings are demanding from you. And put on your big boy pants and start walking like a godly man. A man that a young lady will see and go, hey, that's different. That's unique. That's biblical. That's godly. Yeah, totally wrong motive, but to simply make the point, you know, of how wise it is to be godly. If you behave godly, In fact, I'll even go this far. Even if you were just faking it, you are going to have a very difficult time keeping women away from you. You will, because you're going to be unique. Now, how's about doing it without being a hypocrite? How's about doing it because that is what Jesus requires of you? Be godly. Put these youthful lusts aside and start walking in God. This is His will for your life, that you would be godly in Christ Jesus, that you would put your sexual desires on the back burner until you get married, and then you can practice that activity all you want. But until that day, man up. And I get it. It isn't easy. And I get it. You've got a cell phone, and I get it. You've got access to it. And I get it. They hit you with YouTube ads, and they try to just get more and more salacious for you, and they reel you in, and then you go to the TikTok machine, and then you're like watching kitty porn, because that is the progression, by the way. You don't think that you're going to go into a deeper swamp? Oh, you will, because sin is never satisfied. Be done with it. Be done with it. This is what it means. Jordan Peterson would never tell. This is what it means to be a man. You deny your lusts. You want to be a big boy? Deny your lusts. That's what it looks like. That's what it means to be a godly man. Because Jesus Christ would never look at porn as if that sentence needed to be uttered. Jesus Christ never looked at a woman with lust. And Jesus Christ is not a cosmic killjoy. You can have a wife. You can be intimate as often as you and she agree to. He's not trying to put an end to it. He wants better for you. He wants bigger for you. He wants noble for you. He wants transcendent for you. Why don't you want that?
Well, you know, it's just really hard. And sometimes after a long day of work, and you know, I just go onto the computer, man up.
I'm done. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Heather. Tach, do we treat someone warning us about somebody as gossip or slander, or should we thank them?
Well, it really depends on if it's genuine or not. I mean, if it's something like, hey, that was, oh, am I ever glad to know that because that staved off some danger, then it's not gossip. Unless, of course, the heart is filled with malicious intent. But I think it's better that we actually try to fault on the side of, I don't want to be gossiping, so be careful about it. But if it's a genuine thing, then it's not gossip. It's just wisdom is all. But I will say this, I wish more people had her attitude. I was just, wasn't Spurgeon, because I think it was a woman. And I'm not aware that at any time he ever identified as being a female, but there was somebody that was writing about the tale-bearing and the gossip. And this person, this woman that I was reading, she's not the only one to observe this. I think historically in the church, most people would affirm gossip is a church killer. Gossip will wreck the place. You want to make a mess, tale-bear. Hey, did you hear about, hey, did you think, did you know that this is, you go ahead and you will be making a massive mess. The gossiper is an oil spiller. It just contaminates everything and it just never goes away. And the ducks don't ever float the same way again. Don't gossip. Stay away from the tail bearing. Guard that tongue of yours. It's a forest fire. It's a rudder on a ship and it can steer everybody in your church into shipwreck. I wish more and more people had that woman's attitude and then sent her thoughts to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Evan. Todd, I am currently a high school student, but I have dreams of becoming a pastor. What advice would you give practically about getting into and looking for a good college, and spiritually how to grow in the Lord and pitfalls that commonly come up?
I'm sorry. I kind of got lost with college when I'm looking at the Masters University logo right in front of me.
Yep.
So I might suggest go check out masters.edu lickety-split for your undergrad, master's seminary for your graduate degree. There are other good seminaries. We would be lying if we didn't say that there was nobody else that was good, but I don't think there's anybody better. then Masters U and Masters Seminary. TMS.edu, Masters.edu. But I would like to ask you some questions, young man. And just for the sake of clarity, you said you have dreams about becoming a pastor. Define that for me. What does that mean? What is the longing actually? Because we need to identify that feelings can perhaps deceive us when it comes to the internal test. The test for knowing if you are called to pastoral ministry is an external and an internal call. Externally, people affirm, yeah, we think you should be a pastor. Internally, there's this sense of, I've got to do this. I can't imagine doing anything else. That's a call. Now, if it's a dream to, you kind of like it, you like being in the environment, maybe you like being in front of people, then that might not be a calling. That might be actually not a good desire at all. So you need to make sure that that internal call is, I preach or I die. I pastor sheep, or you can just put me out to pasture because I don't think that I could live if I don't become a pastor. That is an internal call, and it must be confirmed by an external call in the context of your local congregation. And then visit masters.edu. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugar coating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's turn the tables, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I received an email sent to idea@wretched.org. Can you hear it right here? This was sent to Jimmy. So this is a conundrum for you.
Oh, okay.
Dear Jimmy.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. Dear Jimmy, normally when I go to the ministry, my wife is there because she co-labors at the ministry full time, and we see each other and often commute together back and forth from home to the ministry. She took a day off today and I'm totally out of sorts. Do I have a problem? Writes this anonymous emailer sent to Jimmy at wretched.org.
Do you have a problem?
Does this guy have a problem? Didn't I tell you it's anonymous? Can't you practice some discretion around here? This guy wants to know. Tell him. Does he have an issue? Because I think he might. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. Do you ever get into any sort of tiffs with Mrs. Hicks?
Oh, of course. Have you worked with me?
Of course. That was a little too quick. Do you ever feel right when the air hasn't been cleared?
Oh, yeah. Do I ever feel right? No.
It's just like I'm off. I'm out of sorts. And I'm not talking about that. This guy is just separated from his wife for a day and he's like, I feel a little confused about what I look into her office. Like, oh, she's still not there. Marriage, actually, okay, I'm gonna answer this guy's question. I'm gonna make the case that, okay, probably some psychologist would go, well, you're codependent. Well, I kind of think that's what marriage is supposed to be. Because it's a picture of a union of Christ and his church. And that is supposed to be a profoundly close relationship. And marriage, this marriage that we do on earth, it's a dim reflection of the magnificent picture of what it is going to be like for us to be in heaven with Jesus. I'm actually looking forward to preaching this. There was a quote from Shadowlands. Do you remember that C.S. Lewis movie, Shadowlands? There was a quote, and I don't know if it was from one of his books or from the movie, but I stumbled across it. And his comment was, we're always in the shadows. The sun is just over the hill. What was he getting at? This earth is dim and shadowy compared to the reality. Earth, shadowy, heaven, reality. That's a good meme, right? I could tweet that all day long. This is just a dim picture of the magnificent reality of being in heaven with Jesus Christ. You will never experience a more profound and intimate non-sexual relationship like you will with King Jesus when you are with him. Consider Revelation 1, give or take. John had been with Jesus for 3 years. John had been faithfully serving Jesus now for decades. John gets a vision of Jesus in heaven. And how did John respond? Yo, dude, good to see you again. Fell down as if dead. You want an adventure? You want some excitement? You think kayaking is going to scratch that adventurous itch? It ain't nothing compared to what you are going to experience when you see King Jesus. Nothing comes close. It's going to be staggering, breathtaking, and you will know peace profoundly for the first time. And then you might be thinking, okay, then what? All that's going to do is grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. As you increasingly understand the depth, the height, the breadth, the length, the width of the love of God in Christ Jesus, that is what is in store for you. And marriage is just a dim picture of that. So I would say to this fellow, no, you're fine, dude. You're fine. Because if a marriage is like really good, it's still not as good as what it is designed to display, which is the relationship between the believer and Jesus Christ. So, Jimmy, thank you for answering that email. You got any in there?
Do I have any emails?
I think I'm fine, is what I'm trying to say.
You are. You're okay.
Where is she?
It's okay. Hey, you know, I've got some advice. Use your time productively today, Todd.
Okay, Jimmy.
Focus on the important tasks.
Okay. Like?
I don't know.
What, do I owe you some work?
Do you owe me some work?
That's what you're getting at.
No. I'm just trying to help you keep your mind off of it, man.
It's just, I I think people would actually say that's codependent.
No.
I think that's what it should be. Now, I suppose if you don't have any other friends, which I don't, so maybe I do have a problem. Let's get back to the mailbag, 877-282-2337.
So here's an interesting question from Connor. It's how to have 5 children, ages 7 down to 2. Does a perpetually messy house
come with the territory?
Yeah, clothes, toys on the floor, dishes pretty much always in the sink. Does that disqualify someone from eldership on the basis of not managing the household well?
Well, okay. Let me use one word that might guide us through this. Reasonable. How clean does a house need to be for somebody to be qualified to be an elder? Can I wear a white glove, go through your home and find some dust on a shelf and say, not clean enough, you're disqualified from being an elder? You'd go, that's really dumb. Okay, so here's what we've agreed to. We've agreed that cleanliness is never going to be perfectly achieved. Therefore, none of us will ever be perfectly qualified to be an elder if it takes, like, you've got to live like in a Felix Unger home. What then is reasonable? Now, I think we could look at it and go, look, If a man is in a house and he's got 5 kids and it's like a hoarder home, I think that's unreasonable. As tricky as it is, that would be the other end of the spectrum. You got Felix Unger over here and you got hoarder home over there. Is it reasonable? You got 5 kids. And by the way, the line on this, I think, shifts. Having no kids and living in a messy home, well, hold on, what's going on there? What's happening there? And by the way, the criteria is not about a messy home per se. The issue is leadership in the home. The issue is that you are running your household well. The issue isn't that you need to have an immaculate house because that's some sort of spiritual qualification. No, it's the fruit of a different qualification, that you lead well and that you... Because if you can't take care of this, you can't take care of that. It's the lesser to the greater argument. If you can't lead your home well, you can't lead a church well. And so we would take a look at some things that are going on in your life and simply ask some questions. Is that presentation of your home reasonable? Is it basically under control? But you just got a lot of little kids running around. And there's other considerations too. Not only that, so I'm making stuff up now. So you're working full time and you also teach Bible study on Wednesday night at church and you volunteer as an usher on Sunday morning. And she on the side has got kind of a side hustle going on to make money for the family so that she can stay home and be with the kids. Now that would move the line, wouldn't it? That would. So I think to answer a question like that, while it is possible that a piggy pants home could disqualify somebody, probably not. It could, but most likely not. It just needs to be reasonable based on the circumstances. And if you just don't know where that line is, then invite the other elders in. Hey, we're gonna have you come into our house. This is standard fare right here. We're not gonna clean it up. You're just gonna come in. Do you think I've got this under control here? And if they think, well, you know, yeah, you could do a little bit better, then just do a little bit better. But that wouldn't disqualify you from leadership. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think the line is, because the text is managing his household well, keeping his children under control,
right,
with all dignity. And so I think it's about leadership, as you said. And so if the household is messy because you got 5 kids and that's what kids do, okay, that's understandable.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
If the mess is because there's a lack of discipline in the home, then I think you have a discussion.
Yeah.
That's where the problem.
Okay, well, that's basically what I was going to say.
Yep.
I was channeling Susanna Wesley. Hold on, let me unchannel that for a moment. But she had the kids under control. She had like 15 kids. Hmm. And they, believe me, they didn't make messes. Okay. I'm not sure that's the ideal standard, to be perfectly honest. I think homes with kids that aren't somewhat messy in some regard. No. I mean, if you're walking in the living room and it's a landmine of Legos, which, by the way, apparently are heteronormative and they need to go because the way they connect, you know, like... boy and girl. So they're hetero. It's a science museum in England. So they're boycotting, or they don't want to have Lego. Not Legos.
Oh, no
Let go.
Don't fall to the peer pressure of Jim Osmond.
I gave in to Jim Osmond, who claims you can't say Legos, and this is how new denominations start. How kooky have we become? Bring in the other elders if you're not sure. Just bring them in. Because it might just be, and it might be something as simple as this. It's not disqualification. You just need to get on it. Oh, you know what, guys? Thanks for the word. I'm going to step it up, and we're going to get this thing under control so that it's reasonable. And speaking of reasonable, how's about this? Free. Is that reasonable enough? We want to give you Drive-By Marriage. Happy Valentine's Day. We want to give you this resource. It is totally free. It's audio lectures. It is a study guide. Please get it. Your marriage will be stronger. And check this out. Benefit. Bonus. Your house will be cleaner. That was a lie. You can find it at fortisplus.org/marriage. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.